Shalom, Mishpacha, and welcome to the Shofar Ministry Program. This is Dan with my best friend and your effervescent Bible teacher, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, my dear, and shalom to all, and praise to our King. Let's ask our Heavenly Father to be with us.
Abba, Father, we dedicate this program to you as we rejoice and meditate on its precepts that heal us, cleanses us, and teaches us your divine truth. Thank you for many answered prayers as we lift up to you the listeners tonight who need a healing miracle, but even more importantly, the salvation of our loved ones. We pray for the upcoming Ohio elections. May your people prove wisdom, and we pray that you, El Shaddai, are pleased with tonight's program, therefore blessing those who hear it. We pray for the Ukrainians, the peace of Jerusalem, and for all the hostages and innocent victims of war as we stand in solidarity with Israel, the apple of your eye. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And tada rabbah for tuning in. Tonight we will look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, another very good and enlightening chapter written by Paul to be studied verse by verse because it is full of end time information, but often misinterpreted, especially when taken out of context.
Which we will not do.
Right.
But first, some news.
Yes. First off, a reminder, in Ohio, we have already begun voting early. Before you vote, of course, pray, but for sure, vote no on issue one, and know who your school board and judge applicants are ahead of time. But, oh my, so much is happening in our world.
But God knows all about everything.
Definitely. And by the way, our newsletter went out Sunday with important details, but since we started with the topic of voting, quickly, I want to focus on our government.
You mean it's incompetent?
Right. Which is why we need to be equipped with specific, credible knowledge. Because it will come up, so be ready when asked about voting for Biden again.
Well, I say don't.
Just because they hate Trump. So keep these facts in your head. As in, like, the new wars since he's been in office, because other nations know he is a weak president.
We began in Europe with the Ukraine.
And, of course, now in Israel in the Middle East. But also North Korea is shooting missiles toward South Korea. But Iran is now flush with money thanks to Biden not enforcing oil sanctions, and the Iranian people who tried to rebel, well, they were immediately shut down. And Iran is not only funding Hamas, but also the Muslim Brotherhood, who birthed Hezbollah, Islamic Jihad, and Iran's Revolutionary Guard in both Syria and Iraq.
And Biden has no plan to stop their nuclear ambitions.
Instead, he provides them more money from their oil revenues,
while telling Israel to wait before entering its ground forces into Gaza.
Which gives Hamas more time to prepare.
Meanwhile, our southern border is wide open to terrorists.
And Chinese nationals and drug cartels to kill our people. They catch some, while three times that many get through to the tune of approximately 8 million that we even know about. And don't forget about the massive domestic spending that is destroying our currency and economy, rising gas prices that is fueling not our cars because he shut down many pipelines, but instead is fueling record inflation. Biden is pushing the middle class into poverty while undermining capital investment,
which stifles our economic growth.
Yes.
And our military can't even meet its recruitment goals.
Right, due to underfunding and left-wing social policies. And don't forget the vaccine mandates, which, by the way, has definitely caused increased deaths.
That's easily proven.
Oh, and then there's the federal law enforcement being unleashed on pro-life protesters, parents, the Catholic Church, Republican activists, and Trump supporters.
Well, and of course, Trump himself.
Yes, who's back in court again today.
Their aim is to convict him for anything.
And put him in jail.
Meanwhile, real crimes are up with little convictions.
You know, they want to destroy the family, our businesses, and certainly our schools, which we fund, all the while they infest our kids with their left-wing, American, and Jew-hating indoctrination. As we saw last weekend, and it's even in our high schools that showed up in Michigan.
And who's responsible?
Demonically inspired Marxist and pro-terrorist faculty members. Inspired for decades. Well, since we took prayer out of our schools. From our Chinese Confucius institutions that we have allowed, promoted, and in some cases even funded, with no oversight from Congress.
Yeah, or anybody for that matter.
So, to wrap this up, in 2.5 years, Biden has taken us from energy independent and an oil exporter to energy dependent on OPEC, Saudi Arabia, and hostile regimes. And then on top of all that is forcing us to buy electric vehicles whose materials are mostly made in China.
Like so many other of our industry.
It just grieves me so much to watch it. You know, when you think of all the hard work that went into making America great, and it's almost all gone as we watch Biden tell Israel to show restraint while still touting a two-state solution after watching their massacre.
After all, Gaza was their own state.
Right, and they blew it. Should Israel give them more land to use as a weapon station? Especially since it was Biden who pushed Russia, Iran, China, and North Korea into a military partnership. You know, China is eating our lunch, and we do nothing about it, which is why before Biden leaves, we could see sleeper cell attacks in American cities. And China will likely attack Taiwan.
So we'll be involved in another war.
So again, let me finish by reminding you that since the massacre, Biden has not stopped money flowing into Iran by enforcing oil sanctions. He wants to send more money into Gaza and sent in 54 trucks filled with aid and whatever else was snuck in.
How much goes to the people?
Well, we're not sure, but you can be sure Hamas is benefiting extremely well.
While still adding a billion more dollars to UNRWA.
Yes, those are the ones who run the Palestinian Refugee Program of the UN.
So, Biden says what the public wants to hear.
He does. But behind the scenes acts like the godfather to Israel. Oh, and one more thing. He wants to support Jack Lew as ambassador to Israel. That was Obama's chief of staff, who helped champion the horrible Iran nuclear deal, giving Iran $400 million.
Well, he's also best friends with Rob Malley.
Oh, yeah, right. And that was Obama's and until recently Biden's special envoy to Iran, but currently suspended by Republicans finally in Congress for his left-wing ideologies. Well, they better suspend the squads for their ideology as well.
Yeah, right.
So as of today, Israel is waiting for its orders to enter with a full ground force into Gaza. The Israeli Air Force did strike hundreds of Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad targets in Gaza yesterday, including some tunnels with terrorists in them, while infantry and armored forces conducted raids on the ground in the enclave in preparation into Gaza. Lord God, it's time to do your miracle and protect all the troops.
All right, then. You can send your end-time questions by email to Sheila at shofarministry.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail, the Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. If you appreciate this type of teaching, please consider a love offering to help with our expenses and to keep us on the air. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministry.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your continued learning.
And to start us out, we should give some background about Thessalonica.
Yes, because it was a major city.
And a popular thruway in its day. And still today, it's Greece's second most popular place. You know, we can see by his letters that Paul was somewhat pleased with their steadfastness and compliments them immediately in his correspondence.
And actually has not much criticism as in Corinth.
Mm-hmm. Accompanied by Silas, Paul first ministered to the mostly Gentile with many new believers in Thessalonica. And that was, I'd say, during the winter of like 50 to 51 A.D. Then about 6 months later, Paul wrote two intimate, heartfelt letters to the Thessalonians from Corinth.
See Acts chapter 18.
In his first letter, Paul confirmed what he had ministered to them when he visited with them 6 months earlier on the issue of suffering and afflictions.
1 Thessalonians 3:1 through 4.
And that they should continue to trust the Lord in good times and bad. He also warned them that there was an even greater tribulation coming in the future, describing it by using the idiomatic phrase
as labor pains of a pregnant woman,
which always means the tribulation, and that it would plague the whole world. Keywords here?
The whole world.
Yes. Exactly. And that's how we know he wasn't just referring to the personal trials they would also endure. He was being prophetic.
Referring to the end of days.
Let's reiterate that again because it's important. And I think we've talked about it before. But anytime you read the words labor pains of a pregnant woman, it is always an idiom for the 7 years of tribulation or Jacob's trouble, Israel's trouble, prophesied in the Old Testament by the prophets.
With the birth being the new birth of salvation to all of Israel.
And the reason he spoke about the pregnant woman was because he was about to also share the fact that if born again, would not have to fear this great and terrible day of the Lord, because God had not appointed the church to wrath, as he states in 1 Thessalonians 5:9. In fact, Paul as well, right in the beginning of his first letter to the Thessalonians, assures them to wait for God's Son, whom he raised from the dead, who delivers us from the wrath to come.
1 Thessalonians 1:10.
Paul also addressed their big concerns about those in the church who had died.
Some were martyred.
To not sorrow for them. And then went into the very famous chapter 4 dissertation about resurrecting the believers who had already died and meeting other believers in the air who are still living at the resurrection.
The righteous are caught up to meet the Lord in the air.
Yes, we call it the rapture. But caught up is based on the Greek word harpazo, in which is translated in the Latin Vulgate version of the New Testament as raptus. Thus the term rapture in English. And again, it means to snatch away.
To transport quickly.
Paul describes the event very well. The rapture of the church is our great promise.
Our blessed hope in Titus 2:13.
Which is why Paul also says to comfort one another with this knowledge.
And that's what Shofar Ministries is all about.
Yeah, it's a ministry called and then used for such a time as this.
Amen to that.
You know, we are to comfort one another, the body of Christ, with this knowledge. You know, sometime I will share again how God showed me directly that I was to teach on the end times, emphasizing a pre-trib rapture. I absolutely know we are doing what God has commanded of us.
No doubt in my mind.
So, now let's get into the second letter to the Thessalonians, where we will see right at the onset that Paul once again addresses the return of the Lord to rescue his bride.
So that is the context.
Mm-hmm. Because they obviously have received some seeds of false doctrine that was about to take root, causing them to question what Paul had previously told them in his first letter. So we see Paul, now in his second letter, remove those seeds of destruction with seeds of truth. But he doesn't start out his letter with scolding, but rather, as all mentors should, he commends them on their faithfulness in the midst of persecutions, assuring them of a coming vengeance from God to those who trouble them.
Revenge is mine, saith the Lord.
Mm-hmm. So then in chapter 2, Paul reiterates what he has told them before while emphasizing their laboring for the gospel until that day comes, which lasts 1,000 years, but begins at the rapture, which also ushers in the 7,000th year from Adam, then the wrath of God on earth, and finally the kingdom of our Lord, also on a cleaned up earth. So, honey, please read verses 1 and 2 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
Our brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him.
Okay, that's the context.
We ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come.
Now, what's extremely important for you to take hold of is the topic in question, its contexts. As Paul explicitly lays out right away. So, what is the topic of chapter 2?
Our gathering together to meet our coming Lord.
Do you have any idea how often, over the last 40 years, I have heard or were told to read a quote from someone who said we were already in the 7 years, especially after 1993 with the Oslo Accords, and that was signed between Israel and the Palestinians. But obviously, it was not the Accord of Daniel 9:27, for we are still here.
And besides, you know, it did not address Jerusalem.
That is right. Anyhow, Paul tells them not to worry and then explains further in verse 3.
Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first.
Okay, here's where some run into a problem, because the falling away used here means departure, but not from the faith, from the world.
So the departure or rapture comes first.
Yes. And then the man of sin is revealed.
The son of perdition who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God.
And that was, of course, in verse 8. But Paul is saying, don't be deceived, for the day of the Lord will not begin until after our departure from this earth. And then the man of sin is revealed, and he's going to demand worship, and he's going to sit in God's temple in Jerusalem.
So, how can we know this is not from the faith, as some conclude?
Well, I'm so glad you asked, because it's not only from the context, but because Paul uses the Greek word, and that's number 646, apostasia, which might sound like apostasy and can be used as departure, but this departure is used to show a departure from something tangible or a place. So put together with the context in this instance, we can know it's a departure from the earth. Again, because Paul told us that the topic is about our gathering to meet Jesus in the air.
But we also know that there will be a falling away from the faith.
Oh, absolutely. And that's in 1 Timothy 4:1. But there, more accurately put, means a drawing back from the word. And we certainly see that today. In Paul's letter to Timothy, he uses a different Greek word. It's epistemi. And that means falling away. And in that letter, we know the context matches as well.
Well, let's look at that.
Okay, again, 1 Timothy 4:1.
Now, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will fall away.
Again, that's a different Greek word, epistemi.
From the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons.
Right, so there's no question there. More accurately put, should say a drawing back from the faith, which is the clearer meaning of number 868, epistemi. And you also should notice the word some, because not all will fall away or depart from the faith, but they are drawing back from the source of our faith.
Which is the word.
Right, because faith comes from hearing, and that Greek word for hearing is akouo, really means understanding the word.
This, of course, confirms the Laodicean church age.
Oh, for sure. Okay, back to 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 5, where Paul says,
do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things?
Kind of humorous in a frustrating kind of way. In verse 6, Paul explains why we are still here.
In verse 6, and now you know what is restraining that he,
the Antichrist,
may be revealed in his own time.
Right. The Holy Spirit is the restrainer through us. As long as his church is on earth, total spiritual darkness cannot be attained, which must happen for Satan to achieve the extra power he needs to do what he desires. Again, we must leave so Satan can have his way, achieving more power that it cannot attain while we, the light, is here restraining him.
Imagine just for a moment how dark it will be when all the righteous are removed.
And very quickly, we have another scripture to confirm that as well. Amos 5:7 says the light must leave.
Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light? Is it not very dark with no brightness in it?
Right. What is so amazing to me is even though we have a couple dozen great scriptures about how we just cannot be here for God's wrath, there are still many who refuse to accept it.
Very sad, because it is our hope, especially in these last days.
Oh, you better believe it. So we're going to pick it up here next week, revisit this. And until then, do you know Jesus Christ personally as your Lord and Savior? Or is it just a mind thought? Have him in your heart. Because if you don't, honestly, you're just a complete fool. Now's the time. Don't wait another minute. Get on your knees. Repent for ignoring him for so many years and invite him into your heart. And we'll leave you with the blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, that perfect shalom. Until next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, they're going to prosper in many ways. Till next time, tell someone about the Lord. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.